of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations.
Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually.
Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered.
O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones.
He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
He remembers his covenant forever,
the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations.
Lord,
have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have no strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities that may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading today is from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and coming in, from this time forth and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians verse 12, 7 through 10. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand. The Holy Gospel from John chapter 17, verses 9 through 20. Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus is the one who's speaking to his heavenly Father. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we join in singing the next two hymns.
Thank you.
loving Lord, dear friends in Christ, during these 8 weeks, we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer. This morning we come to the final petition of the Lord's Prayer. During this time, we've prayed for lots of different things, for body and soul, spiritual, material kinds of things. We prayed for truth, we prayed for faith, we prayed for missions, we prayed for food and clothes, and now as the conclusion, Jesus says, we pray for deliver us from evil. And the truth is, we live in a world with a lot of evil around us. But maybe the other disturbing part of that is that we, at times, contribute to that evil. We know that evil does not come from God. In the beginning, God created the world, and it was perfect. It was very good. But then the devil brought sin into the world. And so it is that when we give in to the devil's way rather than following God's way, that we do contribute to the evil in the world. When we're more concerned about our own pleasures rather than doing God's will, we contribute to the evil. Or when we're more concerned about our own comforts rather than gathering together to worship the Lord, to study His Word, we contribute to the evil. And so with good reason that the Lord says, deliver us from evil. Keep evil away from us, or keep us from doing evil. Help us to bear up during the evil that comes. We know it's all around us. When's the last time that you read a newspaper or heard a newscast that didn't include stories of evil, whether it was war or hatred or disasters? Martin Luther, in his explanation to the petition, talks about evils, delivering of evil of the body and soul, property and honor, evils of the body, pain and sickness, weakness, disease, hatred, murder, starvation, broken homes, broken hearts, quarrels, evils of the soul, hard-heartedness, self-righteousness, worldliness, atheism, despair, unbelief, persecution, rejection of Christ, eternal damnation, evils of property, fires, storms, war, vandalism, robbery, floods, drought, earthquake, famine, evils of honor, deceitful lies, gossip, slander, betrayal. And I suppose we could even add other things to the evils that we sense around us. And so where do we turn? Where's our hope? Our Father who art in heaven. God who says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you. He says also, I will not leave you, I will not forsake you. St. Paul saying, wow, if God loved us so much to send his son to go to the cross, won't he also take care of all things? So how does God deliver us from evil? On the one hand, we could say that he spares us from evil. Of all the evils in the world, aren't you amazed how much you have been particularly spared of many of them, of most of them? There was a pastor who had to visit one of his members in the hospital, and the patient in the hospital had something exciting to say to his pastor. He said, Pastor, I did something today that I haven't done for many years. I prayed. This man had been a faithful churchgoer. They had meals with prayers. But it was now, when he was flat on his back and going through various afflictions, that he took the time to really pray to the Lord. And so the question comes, would it be best for us if we were spared all evils? It seems as though those who just have prosperity, who just have good health, have a hard way of truly trusting in the Lord for everything. And so sometimes those evils can draw us back to the Lord. Or sometimes God delivers us from evil by, in effect, having it go away. We become very ill with something, we pray to the Lord, and he heals the illness, whether through medicines or the surgeries, but then he brings about what is good. Or there's difficulty in the family, and we pray to the Lord about it, and he helps us to resolve the issues and talk them through. Or maybe financial difficulties that are satisfied from an unexpected source. Or that God brings an end to floods or earthquakes, tornadoes, and such. Another way that God delivers us from evil is to give us the strength and the patience to deal with that evil. How many times haven't we found that as we thought about, wow, if that horrible thing happened in my life, some of those things that Luther had expressed, I don't think I'd even be able to bear under it. But then as we're going through it and we pray to the Lord for the strength, and we find that he gives us the strength, he gives us the ability to endure it. We think of Joseph in the Old Testament, sold into slavery, thrown into prison, but all this time, God strengthening him, God helping him, that when it came time that he could even be second in command in all of Egypt. Or as we heard in the epistle reading, St. Paul with his thorn in the flesh, praying to the Lord that it might be taken away, and God says no. In fact, it's even for your good that I'm allowing it to keep on happening to you, because, as Paul concluded, when I am weak, then I am strong, because I'm not relying on me, I'm relying on the Lord. Haven't we found that true in our lives as well? The interesting thing is, as we heard in the gospel reading, that Jesus, as he's praying for his disciples, as he's praying for all believers, says, I'm not praying to take them out of the world. I'm not even praying that you keep all the evil away from them, but that you uplift them and strengthen them through it. Another way that God helps us to deal with evil is to recognize the good that can come from it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things work together for good to those who love God, St. Paul says. A gardener does the pruning of the fruit trees. Why? Obviously not to harm them, but that they can grow bigger and better fruit. And so as some of those evils and trials come to us, with the Lord's help we get through it, and then we're able to empathize with someone else, to comfort them, to encourage them as they're going through it as well. Another way to translate this, rather than just deliver us from evil, but also deliver us from the evil one, Satan. And of course, the good news is that we keep coming to celebrate every week, is that when Jesus went to the cross, that he did defeat the devil. And so St. Peter in chapter 5 says, be vigilant, be watchful, be sober, because the devil, as a roaring lion, is seeking someone to devour. But the picture is that when Jesus died on the cross and then rose from the dead, then he put a chain around Satan, that roaring lion, and chained him to the wall. So, can Satan harm me? As long as I stay far enough away that the chain holds him back. But when I give in to his temptations, when Satan, as that roaring lion, wants to appear as kind of a nice big pussycat, it says, I'm not going to harm you. Here, come on. Why don't you pet my soft fur? And as we get a little closer and kind of start giving in to the temptations, then, as Peter says, he's out to devour us. He's out to harm us. He's out to destroy us. Another way that, as Jesus says, deliver us from evil, that God takes us out of this evil world, takes us to himself in heaven. Isn't that what we're looking forward to? How many hymns, how many prayers don't include that thought in it? That, wow, when I can go to be with the Lord, and so death doesn't have to be an evil, but it can be a blessing. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more evil, but only the joys of heaven, the joys of being there with the Lord. And so we could say with St. Paul, you know what? I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And isn't that what Lent and Easter are really about? That Jesus went to the cross to pay for all of our sins, to offer us complete forgiveness, and then rose from the dead to assure us of life beyond the grave so that we can go to live with him forever. In the book of Daniel, in the story of Daniel in the lion's den, we remember that the king really didn't want to throw Daniel into the lion's den, but he felt that he had to because of a decree that he had made. But he got up early in the morning, probably hadn't slept much that night, and went to the lion's den and called out, Daniel, Daniel, did the God that you serve so faithfully deliver you? And of course, we know that he did. And so the question comes for us. Can God deliver you from evil? Or is it kind of exaggerated to say God will keep on delivering me and caring for me? Is Jesus adequate for the needs that we have? And are we here this morning to affirm, yes, he is, and we can completely and totally trust in him? Trust that he will deliver us from the evil one, that he will deliver us from the evils and will also keep us from giving in to evil. Oh God, deliver us in your time, in your way. I ask you to turn again to your bulletin as we'll look at the conclusion or at what the explanation of the commandment or the petition is. But deliver us from evil, what does this mean? And your response?
We pray
in
this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end, and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven.
I'm going to extend the sermon a little bit. We're not going to get to the conclusion, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I would imagine that if you opened up your Bible and looked for that verse, you wouldn't find it, except in a footnote on the bottom. You know, in the old King James Version, It was right there in the regular text. But then they found older versions, and so it appears that when Jesus first gave the Lord's Prayer to the disciples and to the church, that it didn't have that conclusion on. But then the early church decided to add a conclusion, and I think guided by these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. So David has called the assembly together. Yeah, he's not going to be able to have the temple built during his time. That's going to happen for Solomon. But he's got all the preparations have already been made for it. And so this is what David then says to the whole assembly. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 13. Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name." And so we can understand how the early church from this concluded the conclusion, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever." And then, amen. Yes, this is what we believe. Yes, this is our prayer. And so as we add the amen at the end of prayers or at the end of hymns, reaffirming that what has been said here is truly what we believe and what we want to be saying to the Lord. I invite you to stand as we join our hearts in prayer.